Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. I am Bruce Pritchard, and I'll be your host. This weekly radio show here on webtalkradio.net, we're going to be talking wrestling each and every week. When I talk about wrestling, we're talking about what some people now call sports entertainment and professional wrestling, the WWE, TNA, Total Nonstop Action. We'll even talk about ROH and some of the independents out there. To give you a little history on myself, I've been involved in professional wrestling and sports entertainment for 36 years. 22 of those years I spent with World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE. First started back in 1987 with WWE. It was called WWF, World Wrestling Federation. They dropped that F, and now it's entertainment, by golly. And before that, I had worked with Houston Wrestling for promoter Paul Bosch from the time I was 10 years old, and also WWE Hall of Famer Cowboy Bill Watts, Mid-South Wrestling, Jim Ross, and several others through the years before making the move to Connecticut and Great White North to be with Vince McMahon and the WWE for a hell of a ride. We're going to be talking about the wrestling business. We're going to be talking about things from the past, telling stories from the past, talking to some of the superstars from the past, as well as those currently, and hopefully those of the future. The stories of some of the things that happened to me, as well as some Hall of Famers. And we'll be talking about talent in the business now, where we think the business is going, how it's doing. Of course, the Monday Night Wrestling Wars between WWE Monday Night Raw on the USA Network and TNA on Spike Network, Spike TV, which is going to go head-to-head on Monday, March 8th. Mark the date. The big wrestling war returns. Monday, March 8th, TNA, Total Nonstop Action Wrestling versus the WWE with Monday Night Raw on USA Network. Should be quite interesting, to say the least. The return of Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff to Monday Nights. Should be exciting. See which superstars are going to end up where. We're going to be discussing that, as well as this week we're going to be talking about the WWE, WrestleMania, the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view that just took place this past Sunday night, as well as analyze Monday Night Raw, discuss what we think of WWE NXT, and we'll get into that a little bit more next week after we have a little time to digest what exactly that show is. We're going to be talking about the pay-per-view and the brand-new world champion, a brand-new WWE champion, what took place with The Undertaker at the pay-per-view. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to WWE Hall of Famer Gerald Briscoe. That's right. Jerry Briscoe is going to be joining us a little bit later on. Jerry is a WWE Hall of Famer, and Jerry is one of the few employees, WWE employees, well, actually, I guess it's still there, still around, still kicking, and Jerry is heading up the scouting division for WWE for developmental talent and doing one hell of a job at that. Maybe a little later on, we will talk to one John Paul Shelnut, a wrestling aficionado and expert who has been all over the world and offers a little bit different perspective when it comes to looking at the business of professional wrestling. And, you know, we'll just have a little bit of fun. We'd like to talk about what took place this past Sunday night on pay-per-view. The WWE's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view event in which not just one, but two world titles changed hands. The WWE Championship went from one Sheamus to the new WWE Champion, John Cena, who only got to hold that championship for a few minutes before he was bested on the same night in an unadvertised title defense against Batista. We have a brand new WWE Champion in Dave Batista. And then from there, not to be outdone, Chris Jericho defeated The Undertaker. That's right, I said it. He defeated and pinned The Undertaker in the Elimination Chamber to win the World Heavyweight Championship. Chris Jericho defeating The Undertaker 2 weeks in a row, pinning The Undertaker 2 weeks in a row. However, Chris did have a little help from Shawn Michaels in the Elimination Chamber. Shawn super kicking The Undertaker, leading to Jericho's pinfall victory. Nonetheless, can't take it away from him. Chris Jericho is the new World Heavyweight Champion. What that means? Well, it leads us to WrestleMania. And at WrestleMania this year, you have Chris Jericho defending the World Heavyweight Championship against the winner of the Royal Rumble, Edge. Edge returns, and what a return Edge made, winning the Royal Rumble in January, earning the right to challenge for either the World Championship or the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Well, Edge made his intentions clear on Monday night. Edge made his intentions clear by spearing the brand new world champion, Chris Jericho, and issuing the challenge, telling Jericho that it's you and me one-on-one for the title at WrestleMania. Should be a hell of a match. Two Canadian, but two of the very best young talents in the business today. Jericho is one of the hardest working, great on the mic, great in the ring, and always entertaining. Edge, one of the best heels the business has ever seen, truly loves being hated. But he's so damn entertaining, man, you got to love him after a while. But Edge and Jericho should be a great match. From there, you got Batista, brand new WWE champion. And on Monday night, John Cena won the right to face Batista one-on-one for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Now, you've got two great world title matches. Man, that's a hell of a double main event for WrestleMania. But I think at the end of the day, you've got to say that the match that everyone is going to be talking about is The Undertaker. Undefeated at WrestleMania. Never been beaten at WrestleMania. Against Shawn Michaels. Undertaker wrestled Shawn Michaels last year at WrestleMania in Houston, Texas. The Undertaker defeated Shawn. Keeping his streak alive. Undefeated at WrestleMania. And this year, once again, it will be one-on-one, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. However, the stakes have never been higher. Many ways, eclipsing anything else WWE could possibly do, they're going to put the undefeated streak of The Undertaker against Shawn Michaels' career. So if Shawn Michaels does not defeat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, his career in the WWE is over. Now, you can argue, say, Shawn Michaels has been over for years, which he has. One of the greatest performers in the history of the business. And I mean all-around great performer. Facing one of the greatest attractions and greatest performers ever in The Undertaker. It's one of those that you can't call. It's one of those you can't say, hey, I know what they're going to do. I know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen on this one, and it is a great match, great stipulations, and it's going to be something that we're all going to be waiting anxiously to see the outcome. Hey, we are joined here on Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard by a special guest, very special guest. He is a Hall of Famer, the one and only Mr. Gerald Briscoe. Jerry, welcome to Something to Wrestle With.
Thank you. How much am I getting paid for this?
Jerry, check's in the mail.
Okay.
It's a big, big check.
Okay. The big check. Can I cash it?
Well, it's a little rubbery.
No, don't cash it today, right?
Yeah, if you could hold off about a year or two, that'd be good.
Okay.
All right, it's a savings and loan check, but I'm sure it's still good.
Yeah, that's savings and loan went out of business about 20 years ago.
But if you hold on, what's old is new again, and I'm sure it'll pick right back up.
Are you in Layfield? It's not Bank of Layfield?
It is a Bank of Layfield. You know, John Layfield has a radio show here on webtalkradio.net. I'm sure you've listened to it plenty of times.
Oh, yeah. That's how I made my fortune.
I know. That's why you're living there in beautiful Florida there on the Tampa Shore and got your own private lake and you're living it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So how's everything going there, Gerald? What are you doing these days for WWE?
I'm a talent scout for WWE. I'm looking for talent.
Have you found any?
Well, I've found a couple of guys. They're still in the process of looking. I'm getting ready to make some college wrestling tournaments and check out the college boys and see if any of them are along the lines of Brock Lesnar or Shelton Benjamin and Kurt Angle and those guys like that.
Well, hopefully you're not going to be competing in any of these tournaments coming up.
Well, if I chose to, I'd probably win them all, but no, I'm not.
No, yeah,
Not this year. Not this year. When the checks clear, I'll compete.
Okay, then I think we're safe.
Yeah.
I think we're safe. And as long as it's not international, you know, because I do hold two victories over you internationally.
One is disputable.
You're right, it is undisputable. I'm the undisputed international king of taking down Jerry Briscoe. Anyway. Jerry, did you see Monday Night Raw?
Yes, I did.
Well, what'd you think? Lots happening there on Monday Night Raw.
A lot going on. I thought there were some excellent matches on Raw. I was a little impressed by the Legacy, the team that wrestled the Legacy, Kofi Kingston, Evan Bourne, and Yotsu. Yeah, I thought that was an excellent wrestling match, and I thought there were some good matches on Raw for it. Excellent matches on that.
Well, let's talk about the big news. I mean, we have two brand new champions. You got Chris Jericho, new world champion.
Yeah, and Chris Jericho, he never ceases to amaze me. That guy, he just when you count Chris Jericho out, he surfaces again. And that guy has so much talent, so much energy, and plus the skill that he possesses. He's one of the top guys in the country.
One of the top guys in the world.
Absolutely, he's world champion.
Yeah, that was going to be my line, but that's okay. You go ahead and steal my stuff. It's all right. It's okay. Everybody else does. It's okay, Jerry, you know. And then of course, new WWE champion, Batista.
The animal, man. That guy's going to be tough to beat. He has everything. The guy's so big. He's so powerful. He's quick. And he's a beast. He's the animal.
Yeah, he is an animal, and of course he's going to be facing John Cena at WrestleMania, and Edge making his challenge. Chris Jericho, they're going to be facing. I mean, those are really two great main events with all fresh faces in the main event. Some would argue, hey, we've seen Cena there a lot, but you know what? He deserves to be there.
He deserves to be there, and a match that we've seen before that's going to be probably everybody's favorite match that everybody's looking forward to. I mean, you left that one out.
Well, I think arguably some people could say that the one match that is probably the biggest match at WrestleMania, what I consider so far from what I've heard, the main event, is Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels.
Well, that's a match is exactly what I'm talking about. We saw that last year, and it was probably the best one of the best matches ever in the history of WrestleMania. And how these two guys are going to go out and top that, I don't know. But I'm sure they'll find a way to do it because they're two of the best talent ever stepped in that squared circle.
You know, the interesting thing about it is that it's one of those that you can't pick. I mean,
exactly.
A lot of times.
Exactly. I mean, if Shawn Michaels loses, got to retire, And I don't think Shawn's ready for that yet. And then there's the streak, and I don't think Undertaker is going to give up that streak too easy either. So, I mean, you got a battle there. So that's an unpredictable match. It's going to be another outstanding kind of match. I got a feeling, because these guys are going to dig deep, and they're going to come up with a whole new strategy that they had from last year, and I think it's going to be outstanding.
Well, a good friend of mine, actually a good friend of yours too, a gentleman by the name of John Paul Shelnut, who's probably going to be joining us a little bit later on in the broadcast if we have time. You know, he said to me,
"We'll make time for John Paul Shelnut. I met some Mr. Project. How can you not make time?"
You know what? We will make time for him right here on Something to Wrestle With, because that's what we do. But John Paul said to me, he goes, "Well, Sean has had a long career. I guess he's going to retire." But my argument to that was, arguably, Sean is probably still one of, if not the best in the business right now.
Well, I agree 100% for a change with a Texan. He is, I wouldn't say arguably.
That's because Texans are usually right.
He probably is one of the best in the business today. There's nobody out there. When Sean puts his mind to it, Bruce, as you know, this guy can go out and he can have the proverbial match with a broomstick and have a 5-star match. I mean, he's that good. But, you know, Taker's been around a while too, so, and he's had a great career. So, I mean, you could argue both ways, you know. Both these guys are veterans. Skilled, highly skilled, and highly motivated to keep that skill level up. So I just think it's going to be a match that we won't forget.
Well, they're definitely two of my favorites, and of course, like you said, they're probably two of the best, if not the two best in the business. And of course, they are both from the great state of Texas, which adds to their greatness.
Well, I mean, everybody has a fault, and that's theirs, you know. I mean, that could be the one weakness that they do have. I wouldn't say that to Undertaker's face or to Shawn Michaels' face.
Well, that'd be smart.
They're both proud Texans, and so they do have a little skill because of that. I will say the history of Texas wrestlers is really superb, but if you count the Hall of Famers, I think there's more Okies in the Hall of Fame than there is Texas.
I think we could argue that, Gerald, but we're not going to right now, because you're a guest here on Something to Wrestle With. And you'd
never argue with me anyway.
Of course not. Never. Never in a million years. I wouldn't do that. And, of course, Jerry, you yourself being a Hall of Famer.
How much am I getting paid for this?
Checks in the mail. It was so big, okay. I had to send it in advance.
Okay.
Yeah, it's huge, though. I mean, oh, gosh, I've never seen a check so big.
Okay. Not one of those Tiger Woods checks, is it?
Oh, well, you know, it's big. It's big. It's big, Jerry.
Okay.
It's big. It's worthy of a Hall of Famer like yourself.
Oh, thank you.
And, of course, Hall of Fame this year, going into the Hall of Fame, got the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. I think it's long overdue for Theodore to be inducted.
I agree. I think it's long overdue. That man has been a star for years. I remember when Ted DiBiase was first starting in the business, and I had the pleasure of competing with him in St. Louis, Missouri, at the famous Kiel Auditorium. I still remember that match. We went 45 minutes.
You probably had the strap, and it was sold out, right?
Oh, of course. Belt. I wouldn't even want to upset the belt, though, but it was sold out. Yeah.
You didn't need it. They were hanging from the rafters.
Yeah, they were hanging from the rafters.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. Well, you know, Teddy, I mean, the whole million-dollar man gimmick, when I went up to work for the WWE with Vince in 1987.
Is that your first or second time?
That was my first time, Jerry. The second time was 92, and yeah. Okay.
That was the third time, wasn't it?
No. There's only one. I've been fired twice, just so I only came back once. Got it? Good. Okay. But, you know, Teddy was working for us down here in Texas and Mid-South, and Ted was in Japan when I made the move to go up north, and I called Teddy over there in Japan, and he said, hey, would you mind asking Vince if he has anything for me? And I did, and Vince was like, yeah, I might be interested in DiBiase. When Ted came back from Japan, Jim Crockett had purchased the UWF from Bill Watts, one of your Oklahoma buddies there.
Hall of Famer.
Bill Watts. And, of course, no, of course Bill Watts, Hall of Famer. And
Oklahoma boy.
Yeah, and he's a perfect example of what Oklahoma boys are all about. And yeah, so anyway, you know, moving on.
The Hall of Fame, that's right.
So Ted DiBiase just wanted to get out of there so bad. He wanted to do anything to get away from Bill Watts and Jim Crockett. He came up, met with Vince, and Vince told him he had an idea that was unique, that had never been done before in the business, and thought would fit Ted perfectly. Wouldn't tell him what it was. And sent Ted back on his way. Ted went back home, told his wife that this guy says he's got a great idea for me, won't tell me what it is, but something about the way that he was describing it and how excited he was about it, and that was the $1 million man.
Well, the rest is history, as they say.
The rest is history, and I had a lot of fun traveling around the world with Theodore and helping to cement that $1 million man gimmick in the annals of history. My God.
Well, when you got to get the $1 million man on the show and ask him about the time I drained his cauliflower ear.
You know what? That's a hell of a story.
Yeah, it is.
I'm gonna get the $1 million man on here. Hopefully before he gets
inducted.
It'll
cost you some money.
I don't have as much money as the $1 million man, and I think
he's a million
and no
dollar
and
man.
No, you know, I spent all, most of my money on that check going to you.
Well, I know it. I cost a lot.
Well, you ain't cheap.
Nope.
And of course, Antonio Inoki going in this year, and just announced this past week, Wendy Richter.
Yeah, Wendy was a fantastic diva, diva before the word diva came out. Wendy was outstanding, and in the ring, and a great person.
Yeah, she married Hugo Savinovich. You remember that? She married Hugo Savinovich.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's a name from the past.
The Piranha.
Yeah.
Hugo Savinovich.
Puerto Rico.
Si. See, no, Hugo was great, man.
Yeah, and also with Wendy, she had some great matches with a lot of the WWE divas at that time. She's a highly skilled lady.
Yeah, well, I mean, Wendy was you know, so instrumental in the rock and wrestling movement back in the early 80s with Hulk and with Cyndi Lauper, Dave Wolf, Captain Lou. She was right in the middle of it.
Yeah, Cyndi Lauper is the name I was trying to think of. I'm glad that's the reason you're the host of the show, because you can bring up those names like that.
That's why I do what I do.
That's the reason you make the big bucks.
Right, yeah. And I write my checks to myself in the same checkbook that your check was written on. Yeah.
Where's Shelnut?
You know, Shelnut's probably out looking for somebody to buy him dinner right about now.
And you do conference calls on this radio show where he's on the air too with me?
We're going to get there. We are going to get
yet,
there.
Though, huh?
We're going to get there soon, Gerald.
Okay.
I promise.
All right.
We'll be there, man, and it'll be huge, by God, when it does. I may have Shelnut right here in the studio with me one time.
Oh, that would be a trip.
Yeah, that cost me an extra headset, though. I don't know if I can do
that. Well, a giant headset. Both of you guys got pretty big heads. I don't know who would have the biggest head. Have you guys ever taken the time to sit down and actually measure each other's heads?
No, because my tape measure got broken when we were trying to measure your ears.
Well, I got some ears. It's all the better to
you
hear
you. You got huge ears. You got huge, ugly, big, ugly broccoli shaped ears.
They're cauliflower, not broccoli.
Yeah, yours look like broccoli.
Well, they're cauliflower.
They're ugly.
No, they're pretty.
No, they's ugly. Or as Dusty Rhodes would say, they're ugly.
To you, but not, you know, they're nice.
They're ugly.
I'm just a handsome man.
Far from it. Jerry, let me get your thoughts on an item that's kind of, you know, tearing up the dirt sheet world of internet gossip and gaga. And that's the Monday Night Wars. They're set to take off on March 8th. TNA on Spike TV, going head-to-head with Monday Night Raw on USA Network. What are your thoughts? How do you think that's going to affect Monday Night television as we know it now?
Well, there's a train of thoughts on that. You know, number one, if TNA goes out and spends some money and hires some talent and hires some decent people to produce backstage, I think it can benefit both parties. But if it runs the status quo like it's been for the last few years, and nothing's going to change. You know, Hogan, as you know, my brother and I helped discover Hogan, and he's certainly a credible name, a credible man. Eric Bischoff is the same. Their unique personalities come across well on TV, and so competition is good for everybody. You know, with the talent level the way it is in the WWE, it's just young and fresh, especially with the new faces that are coming up. The new programming on Sci-Fi with this NEX program coming up.
NXT there, Jerry.
It's going to be a challenge.
You know, it's terrible when I'm the one that has to correct you. It's NXT.
Oh, NXT. I'm sorry about that.
Well, I thought somebody should get it right.
Yeah. Your information should be correct on the show.
Well, you know, we strive for that. We strive for that. Well, you know, just in and of itself, I mean, you think competition is going to be good, or do you think that...
Well, I think that's what I just said. Competition is good for everybody. I mean, I don't care
what... Well, you said nothing's going to change unless they get new talent and spend money.
Like, you're going to be a lot of competition for all of these make-believe wrestling dirt sheet people just by being having this show on the air there. So competition is good for everybody.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, you know, we talk about the competition. I mean, that one story comes to mind is when you and I made the trip down to Panama City, Florida, when the WWE purchased WCW back in, what was it, early 2000?
Right.
And you and I flew down with Shane McMahon and walked in and kind of took over that taping that day, the very last taping on TNT.
Panama City, right?
Panama City, yes. That's what I said earlier.
Okay, well, I just wanted to check.
You know, so. And we went down, took over that taping, and everybody was, you know, a little nervous, didn't know what to expect. And, you know, here were these guys coming in from New York City and taking over, and it was really funny, the suits up in Connecticut were so worried that they had, remember the three plainclothes police officers that they had assigned to us? is our bodyguards in security.
Yeah.
And we looked at
the best part of that trip wasn't going down there, it was going back to Cleveland.
And then from there to Detroit, yes.
Right.
Yes, and I lost my phone on that trip, and that was the trip that Jerry Briscoe got almost Jerry Briscoe Las Vegas drunk, and we drank every bottle of wine on the plane.
But I didn't lose my phone.
I lost mine. We drank half a fifth of Jack. And
the reason we didn't drink the whole fifth, I get it right, is we ran out of time.
We did run out of time, but we drank the rest of it on the way from Cleveland to Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. That's all there was left.
That's all that was left, and then we drank every beer, and it was quite a time getting off that plane that night.
Yeah, and somebody lost their phone.
Somebody did lose their phone. There were a few people that got suplexed on the plane, and I remember landing in Detroit in that snowstorm, and I didn't have a seat by the end of the flight.
I don't remember landing for some reason.
I only remember it because Vince and Shane were holding me down so that I wouldn't go flying since I had nothing to buckle into.
Yeah.
There were scary times. See, now out of that whole group that went down to Panama City, you're the only one left.
Yeah, and I'm just holding on.
Nah, you're doing more than hold on there, Gerald. That's quite all right. You're doing good there. Hey, did you hear about Ric Flair's wife being arrested?
I heard Ric Flair got beat up by his wife.
Well, that's a shame. Is that the first time something like that's ever happened to Ric?
I don't think so. Rick, I don't think Rick's won too many bouts. Maybe one with Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, he lost one with Eric Bischoff, too, now.
Yeah, he lost several with Eric Bischoff, but he did get one in St. Louis on him. So.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, that was kind of like a handicap match there.
Yeah.
in some ways.
Well, it was kind of like when that one time that you jumped me in the back in England.
But at least, Jerry, it was just me. It was
you. When you jump people from the backside, you can count those victories.
It was the only shot I had.
Hey, you watching the Winter Olympics?
You know what? I'm not watching the Winter Olympics because I don't appreciate the manipulation of the Winter Olympics.
What manipulation?
But the manipulation by the networks and what have you to ensure certain teams' outcomes and things of that nature. I think the Winter Olympics are rigged.
You should have watched the snowboarding with Shaun White. That kid's incredible.
I did see his performance.
Yeah, he's incredible. He's a guy can do everything.
I taught him how to do most of that. You know, back in the day when I used to do those things, we didn't have as big of a hill to go up.
Well, you had mo hills, yeah.
Yes.
Like those hills in Texas.
Yes. Made out of Moe's.
Yeah, Moe's make them, yeah.
Yeah, Moe Hills.
Moe's makes a good burrito, too, by the way.
Do they?
Yeah.
Moe Burrito.
Yeah. And if you go in on Thursday and say thank you, Thursday, you get a free burrito.
You know, Jerry, things sure have changed, you know, wrestling business, what have you. You know, even the names of the moves and everything, you know, nowadays they have these things called Hurricane Ranas.
Uh-huh.
You know, a guy gets up on the top rope, he does a flip off and hits somebody, you know, in the middle of the ring or something. You know, back in my day, a Hurricane Rana was a special at Taco Pete's on Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. I wondered where he was going with that, but that was a drink down here in Florida.
Yeah, and if we flip somebody off, we did it with the middle
rum
finger.
And vodka or something like that.
Something like that.
So they had a little fruit juice to it, and you know, you were set.
Well, of course, your heritage, you would go right to the alcohol. But, see, I went right to the Mexican food with my heritage.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Of course.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with your heritage.
Nor yours, Gerald.
I love Mexican food, by the way. I like burritos. I like tacos.
You like Moe's burritos.
I like Moe's burritos. I like tamales. You got good tamales in Texas.
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. And did you, by any chance, catch any of the footage of seeing The Undertaker get caught on fire at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view?
No, I happened to miss that. I was making a Hurricane at that time, and then missed it.
Awesome. And were you flipping anybody off at the time?
No, just off the back of the bar.
Oh, okay. Very, very good. Very good. Yeah, it was pretty intense, man. Undertaker being engulfed in flames on the stage and looked a little
what
horrifying.
What's Paul Shelton at?
You never know. Unfortunately, you never
is
really know.
Is he in Texas or is he in California?
He's in Texas. He's working on projects here in Texas with one L.B. Barry.
Yeah.
That'd be Lawrence Barry, you and me.
Yeah. He's got some big guns.
Yeah, well, LB's got some guns, by God.
Yeah.
Big guns.
Big guns with scopes on them. You can get them off from a mile away, a mile
away. And they never know what hit them.
Yeah. He showed me his gun shelf one time.
I bet you he showed you his guns more than once or twice. You ever play linebacker?
Pardon?
You ever play linebacker?
I think he played linebacker at A&M, didn't he?
I think he just likes, anyway, playing with linebackers.
He played a few linebackers at A&M. I don't know. Well, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, well, Sean White, he's a hell of a wakeboarder, or a snowboarder.
All right, Gerald, one last question. We'll let you go for the evening, but we hope to have you back here on Something to Wrestle With. Who's next? Who's the next breakthrough star?
I got to say Heath Miller.
Heath Miller. Why do you say that? What's special about Heath Miller that makes him stand out head and shoulders above the rest?
Well, he's been trained down here in Tampa, Florida. He's a really talented young man, and I've had the opportunity of going down because my son's at FCW and going down and watching
FCW Florida Championship Wrestling, which is the developmental training ground for WWE stars.
Yeah, and it's for Sheamus and a lot of these future stars, but Heath has a personality, he has a style. He's kind of a mix between Edge and Shawn Michaels to me, and I think this kid's got what it takes to become a real big star.
You know what? I can't argue with that. I think Heath is definitely on the right track to be a huge star. I think all he needs is opportunity, and not only the opportunity to get on and get exposure, but the opportunity to explore and get out there with a character and get out there. He doesn't need a character. He needs to be himself.
Me tonight on this show, the opportunity for, we've covered a lot of subjects tonight, from the Olympics to Herc Ranas, the origination of Herc Ranas, the cauliflower ears, the broccoli ears, the you having two disputed victories internationally, and
I don't dispute that.
And then we actually talked a little bit of rest.
Yeah, but I don't dispute either victory.
Well, you would not.
Montreal and London, I am the champion.
Well, I still got doubts about Montreal.
Jerry?
And the other one, I mean, if you went in England, you know. But anyway, it's really been a pleasure tonight.
Jared, the pleasure's been mine. And
where's Shelnut?
I'm going to find out. You know what? I'll call you back after the show and let you know where Shelnut was. But we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Something to Wrestle With. Hope to have you back again sometime real soon. Like maybe even next week if I can't get anybody else.
Well, that means I'm going to be on a
lot. That's not right. As a matter of fact, that's just wrong, Gerald.
Yeah. Okay, well, Shelnut could come on.
Shelnut, hopefully. We might not have enough time for him this week, but you never know.
Well,
Jerry, thanks again.
All right, thank
Jerry,
you very much.
Thanks for being on with us here, Something to Wrestle With. And thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm going to go ahead and sign off right now. Jerry Hell with you here right on the line. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And again, join us next week. We'll have a brand new show. We'll be exploring WWE NXT, Friday Night SmackDown, Monday Night Raw, and, of course, the TNA, Total Nonstop Action, and counting down to the Monday Night War, March the 8th, TNA versus WWE. Head-to-head on Monday nights, it's coming, as well as WrestleMania coming up, of course, the big one. And we're even going to talk a little bit about my comedy career. Thanks for listening, and join us again. This is Bruce Pritchard, and you're listening to Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard. Goodbye, everybody.